Thank you. Thank you. That was really, no, that was really ridiculous. Thank you. I really expected like 6 students to be here because it is Wednesday and nobody has to be in class. And it's the Wednesday before Good Friday and you guys are all leaving. So thank you. That's quite the privilege. And thank you for friends and family that came. My husband is here. Dave, you want to stand up? And we met in college. We went to Uganda together and adopted 2 kids together, and I haven't killed them yet. He hasn't killed me either, so that's good. We're mutual. I have 2 great kids. Annie graduated from Bethel and in communications, then got a job with U.S. banks, and now works for the biggest insurance company in the world, United Health Group, and she's brilliant. She's getting her EDD at Bethel. My son Isaac is a phenomenal person. He loves birds and raptors, and he can tell you everything about them. He's also a gaming coach, just a super guy. And then they're my students and colleagues. Thank you. And my graduates, all my friends. The great thing about graduating is then you become friends. So, I mean, not that you weren't friends before, but I don't have to grade friends, right? Yeah. Or see if the roster is correct. So, we won't start with prayer because we already did. Right? Wasn't all that worship prayer? Yeah, that was prayer. And this is the topic that I'm speaking on is prayer. Lindsay gave me that topic, Lindsay and Josh. And it came, I thought this was a discipleship Wednesday. I thought I'd have more time. But anyways, got hijacked. And I don't really like preaching, but bear with me if I forget to talk into the mic. I like teaching, so. So prayer. Oh, the topic was because there were certain things in the survey you took last fall that you graded yourselves down on. Like, I think pray without ceasing was one, practice the presence of God, and cultivate solitude. So I thought, well, we can talk about those things. So let's start with John 1:51. I tell you the truth. You will see all heaven open and the angels going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Isn't that an amazing picture? That Jesus is the stairway, that our prayers go up and down from heaven, from earth to heaven, from heaven to earth on Jesus. So, how do we pray? Let's start with pray without ceasing. I like one-word prayers. I'm kind of simple. When I was a mom with little kids, Isaac was maybe 2 years old, and I would sing a lot just to keep them entertained, but I would sing worship songs. So you remember the song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Okay, I won't sing it to you, but I sang that all the time. But Isaac was too little to sing those words, so he'd just sing, Jesus, 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 Jesus. He just loved that song, and he would sing it all day long. Well, Dave was working on our truck in the front yard, and the front yard was a hill in Uganda. This is in Uganda. And he had the emergency brake on, but he hadn't put a rock behind the tire. And the kids were just outside playing in the grass, and Anna climbed in. She was about 1 year older, so she was about 3, really strong. She climbs in and pulls up the emergency brake. And the whole truck is rolling down our front yard towards my baby son. He's just laying in the grass. Jesus, Jesus. Dave's like running to jump into the car to pull the emergency brake. And the car stops. The truck stops like an inch away from his hand. But he'd been right in the path. How did he flip just out of the way of that truck rolling down the hill? Well, I don't know how, but it seemed rather miraculous to me. And maybe it's because Jesus liked that song that baby sang, just worshiping him throughout the day. Jesus. There's another one-word prayer that you pray when you hit the ice, like maybe you did yesterday or today, and you spin out, and you see cars in the ditch that way and cars in the ditch this way, and you say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And all of a sudden, you're still going straight ahead, and you hit dry pavement, and you've made it through the ice. Jesus hears those prayers, those one-word prayers. So don't be afraid to pray a one-word prayer. But there's also, like, what's called breath prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner, has been a breath prayer throughout millennia. The church has prayed that prayer. Theophane, the recluse of the Orthodox Church, notes, is Demetrius here, by the way? There you go. Shout out to the Orthodox Church. Theophane, the recluse, said, thoughts continue to jostle in your mind like mosquitoes. To stop this jostling, you must bind the mind with one thought, or the thought of one only. An aid to this is a short prayer, which helps the mind become simple and unified. So maybe you can make up your own breath prayers. Like when I lie down and I go to sleep, I breathe in, Jesus. Breathe out, I love you. Or Abba, Father, breathe in, breathe out, I love you. Let's do that together. I'm a teacher after all. Let's breathe in and say, Abba, Father, I love you. Breathe in, Abba, Father, I love you. Once more, breathe in, Abba, Father, I love you. Make your own breath prayers. So, we also have to look at practicing the presence of God. Just going through the daily activities of your life. I used to pray for my sister when I hung up the clothes on the line. Then when I got a dryer, I kind of fell off. It's the only problem with praying in a specific place for a specific thing. But I pray as I drive to school. I pray as I walk the dog, you know. Those are just things that remind me to pray. And how does that impact us? Richard Foster says, well, we become less agitated in traffic. We also listen better. We listen to other people better. And maybe we become more aware of children. When we begin to think with love, our decisions become bathed in a loving rationality, and we become more sensitive to the hurts and suffering of others. Maybe we become more like Jesus. Let's move on to cultivating solitude. Jesus said, when you pray, this is early in his time with the disciples, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners, in the synagogues, online, wherever anyone can see them. Oh no, he didn't write that online prayer. That's Nan's translation. I tell you the truth. That's all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you. Pray to your Father in private. And then your Father who sees everything will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. Be succinct. That was Nan's translation. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So this is the first thing Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. Isn't it interesting that Moses did not teach about prayer? The prophets teach us little about prayer. It's Christ who teaches us to pray. So everyone, find a solitary spot where you can be alone with God. And then this secrecy, this closed door, is like an image of the inner spiritual sanctuary, the tabernacle, where Moses went to speak face to face with God. Because it's the invisible one who communicates with our spirit in secret. Jean Gagnon, a French mystic born in 1648, said in Experiencing God Through Prayer, "Allow yourself time to enjoy his presence and be filled full in your spirit. As you remain quiet, God may choose to speak to you." She said, "Hearing is a passive rather than an active procedure. Rest, rest, rest in God's love. The only work you are required now to do is give your most intense attention to his still, small voice within. Forget about yourself and all your household and occupational interests and your email. Forget about everything else, your social media. Turn it off. Simply listen and be attentive to God. These passive actions will permit God to communicate his love to you. Being internally occupied with God is wholly incompatible with being externally busy with 1,000 trivialities. And maybe at least once a year, go to Pachamon Terrace. Okay, renew your strength, receive blessings there. I just got a letter from Spencer Wetman, Bob, and he was at a spiritual retreat in Wisconsin. And he said, "Remember, you taught me to do this." I'm like, oh, 48 hours just with Jesus is amazing. Okay. Oh, we're doing great. Let's move on, though. Meditate on listening to God. Mainly, we have to do that by, first of all, meditating on Scripture. Okay? Sit with the Lord. Sit with the Word of God. And listen as you read. See what jumps out at you. Pray that. And Jesus gives us the model prayer, as an example. And it's in Matthew 6, 9. And he says, pray like this. We really should pay attention when Jesus says, do this, pray like this. Or I'm telling you the truth. Like, we really need to pay attention then. You see, we start with our Father. And this we learn as kids. I remember I learned this prayer when I was a little girl. I remember lying in bed, and my mother taught me this prayer. She taught me nothing about God otherwise, but she did teach me this prayer. And I messed up the end of it. I said, "For yours is the glory and the power." And she says, "No, that's wrong." She said, "It's the power and the glory." I said, "Mother, God's glory is more important than his power." So I guess I was a theologian when I was six. But this is the start, and this is really the key to prayer, is seeing God as a holy Father, a righteous Father, a loving Father. No other saints in Scripture really ventured to address God as his Father, says Andrew Murray. And really, this is the essence of redemption, is that Jesus' Father is now my Father. He's now our Father. It's the key to the entire prayer and to all prayer. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Notice that the first part of this prayer is all about who. It's a class. God, yeah. I'm not even mentioned yet. Okay? It's God's. God is my Father. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? It means I want your will here on earth to be the same as in heaven. Your kingdom come at North Central in my dorm room at 1205 Hawthorne Avenue East, St. Paul, at Christ Church International. Okay, your kingdom come. You can pray for your missionaries that way. Your kingdom come in Uganda with MMM, Jesus Film Ministry, the Recreation Project, all my special mission projects. Tutapona, Slovakia, where my students work now. She is safe, MENA region. Your kingdom come here now, just as it is in heaven. Then we can move on. Right? Give us this day our daily bread. You can be specific. Give me my transportation. Give me my resources. Give me strength to study. Help me understand this textbook. Give me transportation. Give me money for school. All of our needs can be mentioned. Pray specifically. Why does Jesus say to the blind man, "What do you want?" I'm blind. I mean, can't you see that, Jesus? There's something about being specific about what you ask for God, from God, that unlocks faith, and also then we can give glory to Him. We recognize what happened, right? So be specific. And then forgive us our sins as we forgive each other. And lead us not, finally the last part, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the honor, the power, and the glory. So, then he goes into Matthew, my last section. Matthew 7. Keep on asking. So this is effective prayer. What is effective prayer? Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, it will be open. This is it. What kind of writing is this? Anyone? Come on, cross-cultural education students. Huh? It's a poem, right? It's a poem. It's a Hebrew poem, and it's synonymous parallelism. So he just says the same thing over and over again. He's just repeating himself. Why? Because it's so important. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on praying. Keep on knocking. He says it 6 times. And then he says, it will be opened. It's effective. He likes that. I don't know why God wants repetition. I don't know why we only pray once. We don't just pray once. But it's that perseverance that takes no refusal, right? And he gives the story of the friend who comes to his neighbor at midnight, knocks on the door and says, "I need food for my visitor." And the guy says, "No way. I'm in bed. The door is locked. It's not happening." And he says, "Well, though he won't get up because he's your friend, yet because of your importunity, because of your persistence, you're so shamelessly persistent, it will happen." And so how much more will God? God gives good gifts to his children. So the final one is cultivating solitude. We talked about... Oh, sorry, wait a minute. Did I get mixed up? Yeah, okay. The last one is spiritual warfare. And that is a little harder than regular prayer, right? It's easy to say the name of Jesus, and God hears that and answers. But the enemy has a lot of strategies. So Paul, in Ephesians 6, shows us some of those strategies. Things that we need to put on, right? We need to put on the full armor of God. Let's go on to, there we go. There is my friend Texas in his full armor. He does extreme sports. and he climbs ice mountains. But notice, he's got a helmet on, so if he falls, he doesn't get a concussion. In the same way, when we're fighting against the evil one, we have to put on the helmet of salvation. Oh, it's up there from where I see. There, okay. Sorry. Okay, he has a helmet on, so we put on the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of Christ's righteousness, the belt of truth. What's on Bora's belt? Bora, come up and show us your belt. He calls it a harness, right? Okay, put on the harness of truth. Here's Bora in his equipment. All right, yes. This man is ready for extreme sports, and that's what spiritual warfare is. Explain it to us, Bora, Texas.
Well, we have a cam here, which is what we call a friend. And we'll know why we call her a friend, because if you need help when you're climbing and you're in a position where you're about to fall and you found a crack, you have to find the right friend to put inside the crack so that then you can use your PAS, personal anchor system, to hook onto it so that you can relieve yourself from holding onto that so you don't fall.
So it's our friends that hold us in prayer. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. So then, of course, if you are belaying somebody, then you need a belayer to make sure that they are safe in your hand. And then you can put the rope in here and you make sure that they, when they do fall, that you know when to give them enough slack before they fall and hit themselves. Because if when you fall, it's a really hard strength towards that person. So if you can jump up to relieve some of that, then it's not as hard for them or hurt themselves when they fall.
So we have to belay each other as Christians, right? We have to catch each other, and we do that through prayer. He doesn't have his boots on because it would ruin the floors. But do you see them in that picture? What are they called?
It's a climbing boot and a crampon. So the crampon is basically when you kick the ice, you have to know how to kick it properly because it's not just a regular kick. You kind of like kick this way. And then you can just, it's just basically point so that you can climb up on it.
Stick in the ice. So the gospel of the, we wear the sandals of the gospel of sharing the gospel of peace. What else?
And then, of course, if you need to belay somebody, instead of you holding up to your neck, you need a belay glass. And this one is a attachment to your glass so that you can actually see that person by just staring straight up instead of having to go up that way. So that helps you. So it doesn't, because if you belay a lot of people, your neck is just going to be straining. So you need tools like that.
So a lot of equipment that we need for extreme sports and a lot of equipment for spiritual warfare. Thank you. Give it up for Bora. I appreciate that. Woo! I'm going to ask Des to come up. That's all I have for you guys. I love you. I love teaching here. You're wonderful. Thank you.
You stay.